I'm Dr. Don McDonald. Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse, the podcast. I believe one of the most valuable things you can give yourself as a chiropractor is taking time. Time to become more inspired, present, and focused. Weekly, I'll be bringing you stories of triumph, mindset shifts, and lessons from people who are breaking through their limitations. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Now, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and I have a special guest from Iowa, down where I went to chiropractic school at Palmer, but he's in a little tiny town outside of Cedar Rapids, and his name's Dr. Dustin Benn. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Don. And it's actually Bane. Bane like rain, not like pain.
Oh, Bane.
So, hey, Bane. You call me whatever you want. As long as it's nice, I'll answer. How's that sound?
That's hilarious. Okay, Bane. That's the Dr. Bane. So, Dr. Bane, he is a chiropractor, has a wonderful practice in a little town of 2,000 people in Iowa. And he has an amazing podcast called Inspired Nation. And he had me on his podcast too, and I had my book come out. And so I'm kind of returning the shout out, and we're reversing roles. So now I get to pepper youth questions instead of you pepper youth questions. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's obviously it's very different being on this side of it as opposed to asking the questions, because you're like, what's coming up? What's next? When you're giving it, you know what you're going to say. You know what's happening.
I know. It's no fair, right? It's like you got, oh no, power shift.
Ah. It'll be exciting. It's good. I'm excited.
Well, that's great. So how we usually like to start off all episodes is just to give us a little bit of history of kind of your upbringing, where you grew up, and kind of how you became a chiropractor, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
Cool. Yeah, I grew up in another small rural community in Iowa called Hampton. Loved sports, was an only child, and actually the sports injury is what got me into chiropractic college. Nice. I was playing football my junior year and was a tailback, so I received the ball. And it was a rainy day, and my offensive lineman, literally all of them fell down. Defensive lineman came through, put his helmet directly in my chest. I fell backwards, laying on the ground, looking up at the sky, thinking, what just hit me? So coach leaned over me, looked at me, said, Bane, you doing okay? I'm like, I can't feel my arm. He's like, what? I'm like, I can't feel my arm. So they took me out to the hospital. They gave me muscle relaxers, anti-inflammatories, put me in a sling. 3 days later, I'm at school, and I still can't feel my arm. I'm literally, I cannot feel it. I can't move it, can't lift it, it's dead. And again, 3 days later, my best friend walking into study hall, he's like, dude, your arm's still dead? I'm like, I don't know what to do, Joel, what's up? He's like, go to the chiropractor. I'm like, it's not my back that hurts, it's my arm that's dead. He's like, shut up, just go. So I returned the favor and said, Joel, you've been going as long as I've known you. Apparently it doesn't work. So he's like, just go. I'm like, all right. So I went, and it was this dingy office with wooded, boarded walls, and I'm going, what? This is not the kind of medical care, quote, that I'm used to. What's going on here? And they walked me back in this room. He sat me in a chair and explained a little bit about what was going on, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Gonstead chair, adjusted my lower neck, and it was like a lightning bolt went boom all the way through my hands, all the way through my fingers, and I'm like, whatever you just did, I'm sold. Because at this point, my grades sucked. I mean, I was like C, D, C, D, C.
Yeah.
I had not found my niche at all. Mm-hmm. From that point, when I asked him, like, what do I have to do? I'm in. And he had actually gone to Northwestern Chiropractic College. So he guided me up there, went to Northwestern, had a great experience. And at the time, my wife was working for a chiropractor. So while I would get messed up, quotes, in the student clinic, I would then go to him and get put back together.
Yeah.
And he said, and one of the first few days I'm in there, it was 8 adjusting tables in one room. And I'm laying there, and I look to my left, and there's this kid, like, all curled up, just making this, like, screeching noise. And I looked over, and I'm like, probably doesn't have arm pain, probably has neck pain. Why is that kid here? And I went home that night. Later on, I asked my wife, I said, what was going on with that kid next to me? And she said, hey, she said he had adverse reactions to vaccines. Mm. And I said, what does that have to do with chiropractic? And she said, when he first started coming in, he would not make any noise. He was just curled up in a wheelchair, wouldn't talk, wouldn't move, nothing. But since he was getting adjusted, was actually starting to open up. I'm going, what? It's like, talk to Dr. Fargo. He'll explain everything. So I talked to Dr. Fargo, and he said, you know, Dustin, when you get out of chiropractic college, you'll have two options. Number one, you can take away a pain, which realistically, a drug or something could do it a whole lot quicker and cheaper than you can. Mm-hmm. Or secondly, you can change a life. But if you choose to do that, it's a whole different road, but you will never work a day in your life. I said, that sounds more fun. Let's do that. So I went from this experience of all neck pain, all headache to now we're changing lives. And really that's where it's kind of gone from there. From there, I went down to Tucson, practice down there in a high volume practice for 4 years, gained a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, helped a lot of people. And at the same time, kind of got humbled, so to speak. I know we all go through those situations where we're riding high, rocking and rolling, and then all of a sudden we get smacked in the face. And that's kind of what happened down there.
What happened there? Well, I want to just jump back just a bit because when you went to your chiropractor and he explained about what chiropractic truly was, and then you went to Northwestern, again, a lot of the schools, sometimes we have, you know, varying philosophies in chiropractic, right? Going from the pain base to the, we call it the life model or the philosophy of chiropractic. How was that for you in school?
It actually, things work out the way that they're supposed to. You know, I always believe we're guided by something, somebody, whatever. And when I was a T1, T2, my upper trimester doc was a Gonstead. So it was probably 3 to 4 months into school, and I was at this point a T2. He said, hey, this weekend you're coming with us. I'm going, where are you going? We're going to Chicago for a Gonstead seminar. I'm going, what? He's like, just come. So literally they showed up at my house Saturday morning and said, get in the car. I'm like, you don't understand. I have tests. I have study. I have to do all this stuff. He's like, get in the car. All right. Got in the car, went to Chicago, went to the Gonstead seminar. And it was not that it was necessarily about the technique. It was more about the philosophy of chiropractic. And it hadn't necessarily been explained to me the way that it was there. And not that that kind of led down other pathways of the Green Books and Parker and Steve Hoffman and all these different channels that you always end on that get you to where you are, that kind of really led me to what chiropractic was. Otherwise, the school, you don't get it there. But there was a tight group at Northwestern that really stuck with it.
Yeah, and I know there's a group there right now that they're like a real good philosophy group, and then they go out and they anyway, I can't remember the seminar series that they have out there that's Troy Duquette's put it together. What's it called?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they have a group out there, and they have a lot of students that come out, and that's a core group of students. And it's funny talking to them. They often say they have quite a bit of debates with the existing students, with the other students. Did you notice the same thing?
Yes. And it would get to be a little nasty sometimes where it wasn't me. I mean, I was pretty laid back and mellow, but I actually graduated with Dan Sullivan.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Dan was in there, and him and another guy would highly question the people. And we're like, oh wow. All right. Things are getting spicy. So it was entertaining.
That's good. Funny. Actually, yeah, I had Dan Sullivan on the podcast, and he talked about that too, where he said you'd have some spirited debates in between classes at the school there. So that would have been right at that
intense time. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went to Arizona, and why did you go to Arizona? Was that kind of what drew you to Arizona?
I joined, well, heat, first of all, and warmth. Second, it was a practice that I loved. The intern, when I was coming in as a T1 at Dr. Fargo's clinic, graduated, then opened the practice down in Tucson. So I knew him, knew of his practice, knew how he was going to practice, kind of followed him along, and essentially he formed the practice that I wanted. It was all cash. It was mostly kids. It was families. It was just high volume. It was fun. And I'm like, I want to learn to do this. How do I have to do it? What do I got to do? So that essentially we said, I'm in. I'll join the practice as associate. We bought a house without even seeing it. Him and his wife literally went around to local houses and said, all right, what are you guys looking for? Like anything other than white walls, because we lived in apartments our entire life.
Yeah.
So we walked in this house and it's like lime green, yellow, red. We're going, oh, this is Southwest. All right. So joined the practice down there. It was rolling. We brought in two other associates, and the plan was for he and I to eventually open multiple practices throughout Tucson, start to step back and just kind of oversee these and oversee the practices and lead them. Mm-hmm. But we opened the first one and it tanked. So, and that literally took everything financially from both of us. And I said there was a humbling experience because right before that happened, I was 30 years old, just had my daughter, had my second daughter at the time. bought the house, had just bought a Jaguar XK8, $75,000 car, 30 years old. I still have all my student loans. I'm like, what the hell? Do you want to start a new practice? Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
That's hilarious.
So very stupid.
Don't do that. See, there any young grads out there, don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. Build into it. Not for it. So went into that practice with a very, very, very overhead, just stress times 10. It started putting a stress on my family life. My health, both the other doc and my health relationship, just everything blew up. So I had my second daughter at that time and realized that my wife was very unhappy because her whole family's all back here.
Right.
Lots of stress. So I said, all right, I just need a fresh start. We just need and start over.
Yeah. How many years were you there?
We were there four.
For 4 years, yeah.
4 years, yeah. So moved back here and came to this community. And there's, other. We looked at Cedar Rapids, we looked at Cedar Falls, we looked at Des Moines, all these larger communities because that's what I was used to. And every time we came to Jessup, which again, it's a small rural community. There are tractors driving up and down the main streets every single day past my practice. This is a small town. actually, there's an Amish community right outside of town too. So we see everything.
Yeah.
And I'm driving through town and I'm looking around and there's one other chiropractor in town. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't been practicing for 4 months. We moved back. We were living in my in-laws. I had my table set up in their basement, just adjusting family members. And I looked at Diane, like, I just need to get my hands going. So I drove through town. There's nothing. There's no space available. I went into the other chiropractor's office and said, I know you have two offices. You have one here, one in a different town. I'd like to just get my hands going. And just got this, not a no, but just this defense, just this weird feel.
Yeah. And it wasn't welcoming.
It was just different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went out to my car, called my wife on the cell phone and said, and pardon my French here, but I said, fuck it. We're going right here.
Yeah.
Why? I'm like, they're not, I know no one is here hearing the message of what chiropractic truly is. I know it's pain-based. Nothing's anything wrong with that, but that's not how I practice. And if they don't know there's an option, I want to be the guy that delivers that. Mm-hmm. So we opened a practice in this 650 square foot dungeon. It started going rock and rolling, started hosting lots of events, wellness events, talking chiropractic through that, how that's all implemented together. And then just, we've been rock and rolling from there.
And are you in still the same location or did you move?
No, we moved 4 years ago into a larger location. So we can finally host our classes at the place. And we'd outgrown that a long time ago. We should have moved quicker. But
that's so. Did you have a time where you're pretty crammed and people waiting all over the place in your small location?
There really was no waiting room. Literally, you walked in, you were standing on top of the front desk. And to the left was a small room. To the right was my little adjusting room. I seriously don't know how anybody would go visit a chiropractor there. Anybody. Because we'd have people who would come from Cedar Falls, so a bigger city, who are used to nicer things.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd walk in and they're like, okay, you better be good. You just see it on their eyes like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, this is all we got.
Well, and you know what? I think that's smart though, because hearing a lot of young grads opening up, to just get what you did the first time. If you crank it out with massive overhead, and you start with huge amount of stress, we know that you can be inspired or in protection. You can't really be in both at the same time, and so it's nice. It's actually better. And the great thing about chiropractic is you just need your two hands and a table, really, and you can always upgrade. I think it's a lot hard. Well, you can't really downgrade because usually you just go bankrupt.
Exactly. Well, and the same point, and at the Tucson office, I was very, I'll say chill, meaning it was the other doctor's office. He had the voice, he had the image, he had everything. And I was just the associate. So if there was a class going on and I didn't want to do it, all of a sudden I would magically get sick. Not because I was sick, but more because I was scared the shitless. So when we moved back here, it was, all right, this is all you. You're either going to make or break this. So not only didn't I need my hands, I needed to get my voice figured out and get that going and explaining what I do. So it's really that humbling. I'm so grateful that all of that shit went down. So things could transform into what they are now.
Yeah. And so when you first opened that clinic in your town, what kind of things did you do to promote yourself when you first opened?
We did a lot of women's wellness night out events. We did what was called the Rebuild the Temple program. It was 6 weeks, where 2 days a week I would lead a kind of like curves or what's that called? Go around to different stations, station training.
Yeah. Ergonomics.
What is it?
Ergonomics.
Thank you. Well, no, yeah. No. Stations, you know, where you go to different weight stations.
So circuit training. Okay. Yeah.
So we did that. And from there, it became, these people would start looking like, all right, I know you do this, but you're a chiropractor. What is that? So I would start slowly dripping how this all, not back-ending it. I'm like, yeah, this is what I do. This is chiropractic. It's first you have to get your body aligned to make sure that's working, and then you get the benefits of that. We're starting with the benefits, and we're going to come back around. And then it came from, all right, my daughter has XYZ. Can you help with that? Yeah, let's check it. See what's going on with the nervous system. See if there's any imbalances going on. And my wife and I were talking about this the other day. We became seriously the Chamber of Commerce of the town. We were hosting events 2 to 3 weekends every month. There's no screenings. There's no shows. So I'm like, all right, well, let's just host things.
You create your own then, right? Yeah.
That was beautiful. We hosted 5K trainings. We hosted 5Ks within the first 3 years when they were still new, I guess. Now they're kind of saturated, but
yeah.
Just to get my name out there
and
get them to know, again, know, like, trust. First, they got to know who I am, and then it's like me, and then, all right, now they trust me. Now we can go.
And then part of it's just getting out in the, well, you brought them into your place, but you probably had to get out into the community and meet people as well.
Yep.
Because you just moved there, right? So you just found the place, so you never lived there before. So
it was my wife's hometown.
Okay.
So, which was funny because when we first moved here, I was known as Diane's husband, and now she's known as my wife inside.
Ah, there you go.
We've done something.
That's a lot. You got your identity. That's awesome.
Right.
So how long have you been in practice there for now?
We've been here 10 years now. This is 10 years this year on 2018. So yeah.
And in this new practice, have you been pretty good at self-care and looking after yourself, or have you ever got to a point, sometimes people get where they get a little bit busy and kind of start looking after everybody else and kind of crash a bit?
Not with that. I've made that a priority from the get-go. My wife and I were both kind of high into that we have to lead by example and not just talk about it. So we started actually doing it. And every time they see us out there, it's just kind of expected, like, oh, you can't eat that because you're a doctor. I'm like, we're human too. I like cookies. It's okay.
Just not every day.
Yeah. Just not every meal.
So what's your routine for you and your wife? Like, how do you plan your self-care?
Yeah. I'm usually up 4:30 in the morning, some kind of exercise, meditation, visualization. I'm part of Garrett J. White's Warrior, Wake Up Warrior. So I do a lot with that in the morning. That's the big preparation that usually takes me hour-ish. So, and from there, I do a lot of quick surge training. So 20, 30 minutes, I'm done. I don't do the hour. No, I need to quick, get in, get effective, and move on.
And do you do that daily, or is there a certain amount of times, like as far as your exercise?
That's daily.
Yeah, so that's HIIT training daily all the way through.
Yep.
Do you do any resistance training with that?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. What's that routine?
Strength training. We have a Jessup gym out here. It's ideal. It's weights, but it's $1 per time you go.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Smaller community.
That's awesome.
It's great.
Not $15 drop in like in the big cities and stuff.
No. It's $1. And it's seriously a clear bucket that says $1 on the side. You put it in, you go in. It's awesome.
That is so awesome. So, and do you do weights 3 times a week, or how do you do that?
I try and rotate between 3 days of weights, 3 days HIIT, and then I do a day of yoga.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's my 7 days. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome. So, again, for a lot of people, they might know, but you've created your podcast, right? And tell me how that idea even came to fruition in the first place.
Yeah, I started one of the days out when I was lifting at Rex's. Started finding the podcast, The Chiropractic Philanthropist with Dr. Ed Osborne.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this. I'm like, this is awesome. It's my little phone here. I'm listening to this voice, talking to the chiropractors. I think I could do something similar to this. I want to do this. How do I do this? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't probably 2 months later, I saw he was coming out with a program of how to do a podcast. And I bought that program. And what are we in? Year and a half now? We started that. And it's grown. It's fun. I love it. It's half the time it started as me just recording messages for other people and interviewing docs. And now that I'm doing it, it's more for my kids. Seriously.
That's cool.
I have a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old. The 13-year-old really wants nothing to do with dad at this point. However, here's the fun part. My wife the other day had her cell phone, and she's like, I'll have you know that your daughter, what her last podcast that she was listening to was The Inspired Nation. I'm like, I was like tearing up. I'm like, that's it. This is my secret in to talk to my kids.
That's hilarious, your secret in. That's funny. And so who do you target it to?
Anybody who feels like they're stuck in their stuff. Like I said, there was that time in Tucson where I was just, I felt lost. I didn't know what to do. I had the thoughts going through my head that I'm worth more to my family right now dead than I am alive. Mm-hmm. And that is not who I was born up, raised to be. When we moved back, like I said, we lived in my in-laws' basement, and there was a day I was out, and there's a dairy barn, and I was picking up cans because we had zero cash, like no money, a daughter, wife, and two daughters at the time, my wife. Bend down to pick this can up, and I just lost it. I was like, what the hell are you doing? You're picking up a can. You have a chiropractic degree. You were rocking it literally 4 months ago. You had this Jaguar. You were killing it, and now you're picking up a can for gas. What's the deal? And I this thought in my head said, you're, quote, bigger than this. You deserve more. And there's somebody out there who also needs to hear this message once you change. So that's where kind of, all right, what do I have to commit to? I have to commit to me. I have to commit to growing myself as a person and the commitment and what I'm going to offer to the world. So then, like I said, Ed's thing came out. I'm like, that's it. I got to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, I just started recording my voice. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be edited. It's just, here's the experience that my kids and I had today. You know, one of the most downloaded episode I had was the one that my son colored his penis blue with a marker.
That's
how do you get a lesson out of that? And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, it's all about change. Yeah, you want to change your penis color? I got it, dude. But you can't. So here's the deal.
That's hilarious. And so, who've been your mentors over the years? And then I'll go into the next, like, how do you stay inspired and keep yourself on purpose?
Yeah. My mentors, started Steve Hoffman. He was the one that really kind of ingrained me on the philosophy of chiropractic. He's been huge. Even now I still contact with him. David Jackson, he's huge. He was also one. Patrick Gentempo, DeMartini, Reggie Gold, you get these recordings of the old tapes and you listen to their messages and their lectures and you're like, oh my God, why is this not known in the world?
Yeah.
But yeah. But as far as the big guys, it's probably be David Jackson, Steve Hoffman, those kind of guys. Yeah.
That's cool. And what about now? Tell me a little bit about Garrett White with your, the Warrior experience.
Yeah, that's been incredible. I started looking outside, not just, I love chiropractic, but there's so much more out there. Mm-hmm. As far as how to get your word out there, how do you deliver your message? And Garrett is a phenomenal at that. I've gone to two of his conferences, and one of the things he said that just was like a hatchet between the eyes, he said, everybody wants to try and get on the stage. And he pointed to the stage, like, everybody sitting out there wants to try and get on the stage. And he looked at everybody and he said, fuck it, build your own damn stage. He said, that's where the impact is. Stop trying to get on somebody else's ideology or what they believe. What do you believe? Get raw with it, be relevant, and now represent yourself to the world. That's where you will make an impact. And he said that, and I was like, I'm done. We can walk out right now. I got what I need. Let's go.
That's so funny. It's so true though, right? I remember when I was in New York City and I was pitching my book to all these different TV stations and radio stations and all this kind of stuff. And you're basically like a dog and pony show. So you line up and you get 3 minutes to be able to basically dance on your head so that they have you on your show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and then once I've been on, and there's a few podcasts I was on as well. And basically what they're doing is then they say you spread their show. So you're just growing their show, but you're also trying to impress them to be on their show. And I'm like, this is so funny because that's how real life is. Because everybody's waiting to be picked or chosen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. When in reality we need to choose ourselves.
Yep.
And just make it happen. So I think that's a pretty cool thing.
So you said that over the past year from that, I started the Emergence program, which is one-on-one, not coach, it's not coaching, and it's not for chiropractors. It is, but it's not. But mm-hmm. the one woman that I did last year, she was miserable at her, like horrible, hated her life. Boom. Now she's teaching yoga. She's leading pottery classes in the summertime. And she's like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, yeah, do more of it. Figure out a way to get paid for it. And now that's called living. Do that.
That's hilarious. And did you, did she just, did you get in contact with her through your podcast? Is that how that,
podcast? And actually she's a clinic member too. She's like, I know there's more than what to what you do than just here. What I want to do that. I'm like, okay. So we started doing kind of like, all right, let's figure out what's exactly that you want. Now we can go from there. But she was so, I don't know what I want. I'm like, all right, you're never going to get that. What do you want? Figure that out first.
Yeah.
Backwards.
And that's the hardest thing for some people, right? Is that they're so worried about and that's part of what my book was about too, is just so worried about pleasing everybody else and looking after everybody else that they're, what do I love muscles kind of atrophied.
Yes. Yes.
So you need to pump that up a bit.
Yep.
So, you know, you hear that statement that we're like the five closest people to us. Do you have any examples of in the past when you've had to maybe decrease the amount of time you spend with someone or have to kind of remove them a bit from your circle because of the way they were affecting you?
I do the opposite version, increase my time with somebody.
Yeah.
But first figure out who those people are.
Right. Do you have a conscious method towards that or in the past, did it just kind of default or?
There's two guys that I meet with every Thursday. We call it the treehouse. One is the CEO of the phone company here. The other is a financial planner. And we get together every Thursday, cup of coffee, and we just shoot the breeze about, all right, how do we make each other better? And it never, half the time we're listening to 90s hip hop rap music playing in the background. We're swearing, we're cussing, we're just shooting the breeze, but always something comes from it every single time. And we started that a year ago. And since that time, we've raised close to $60,000 for organizations for needy, less fortunate people around the area. And it's simply just because we came together and like, all right, this isn't about chiropractic. It's not about financial planning. It's not about what you do. What can we bring together? So the combined unit of intensity of what we're trying to do is just expanding. So I look, we cross all time off. Like that day happens every week. I don't care what I have to do. That will always happen. It expands not only us, it expands our business. It expands everything without even trying to.
And even your community.
That's yes.
Right. Cause you're right there. Now, how did that start? Cause you know, some people out there are like, I don't really know that many people that are, or they might be in an area that might be a small town and they don't really have anyone in their close network that's super inspiring to them. So how did that even start for you?
Actually, they contacted me and they wanted to help spread the Inspired Nation message. That's how that all started.
Oh, no way.
They've been like, you know, you're consistent with your message. You do this every week, sometimes multiple weeks, you do the Facebook Live. And we like what the message, we like what you're trying to stand for. How, because the CEO of Heart of the phone company, it's also technology. So he knows social media like the back of his hand. Mm-hmm. And they started making videos for me for free. They started doing all this other stuff. And I'm like, this is awesome. So it was all designed with the message is how do you help more people? Period. Not just trying to, what can you get in return? How right. can you help more people? So they were just trying to get the message out there for me. And since then it's like, all right, well, how do I help you? And how do I help you? And how does we help this town? So it was more about service as opposed to get.
That's interesting because that goes back to your point where you're talking about your girl that you're working with that now does her pottery and stuff, is that if we start putting out the message, and that's the great thing now, is that now that we have social media and we have all this different technology, you can start, it'd be like aliens, right? We're sending a message out to the space.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what's going to come back. But if you don't send any messages out,
like if you sit on your message, nobody knows.
Nobody's going to know. So, yeah. So that's a good tip for some other people, is get your message out there, even if you don't even have anyone who can kind of be in your close circle, and then see how that responds.
And it will attract people that you don't even know where they came from or how they showed up. You're like, how did you even, oh, I heard this. Da-da-da-da-da. All right. Awesome. Cool. So yes, for sure. Just start putting it out there. Content mm-hmm. is king. Put it out.
And for you, you know, just with your podcast and even as being a chiropractor, what are the most common frustrations people have with being inspired or the challenges that they have staying inspired?
Usually it's the stories that they keep telling themselves in their head. Like, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. It's not supposed to happen this way. I had this big dreams and all of a sudden things changed, and you kind of have to get in there and just essentially smack them in the face. Say that yesterday you can't change. It's gone. Get rid of it. What are you going to do today? And if you can sit them down and it just starts aiming four targets, what are four things that you can do in the next 90 days? Four things. I'm not trying to change your entire world, but if you start doing four things every single day for the next 4 months or for the next 90 days, something's going to change. Guaranteed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's coming up with those four that people have the struggle. Mm-hmm. They think, again, it has to be perfect. It has to look like this. Well, the guy on stage said I had to do it. Like, I don't give a shit what they said. What do you want?
Right.
Figure that out. So the more you can get clarity with that with them, and first they have to be raw. They have to accept it and be like, all right, I do suck. You're right. I'm fat. I got it. All right. Now I'm 40 pounds over playing. I've lied for years and said it's good enough. It's good.
Or it's not that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's kind of getting real, right? And then once you've got the awareness, then you can kind of start moving. And I guess too, you can course correct, right? As long as you're moving. Yep. One of the best sayings I've heard is it's just like when I play basketball, we called it the triple threat position. So you'd be down and you're in a triple threat position. That means I can drive, I can shoot, or I can dribble. Right. But I'm in the ready position and I'm moving, and it's easier to change direction when you're moving than to change direction when you're not moving.
Yep.
Because then you have to create that momentum first. Right. So, so how do you keep inspired and how do you keep on track on a regular weekly basis? Do you have a routine that you try to get back to your purpose, or how do you do that?
I listen to a lot of Gary J. White, his daily podcasts. There's podcasts at Gary V. I listen to him. Part of the Warrior Nation, watching the Warrior trainings there. Music, I'm big on music. If it's uplifting and motivational, that would get my energy and mojo going. I remove myself from situations where energy sucks. The example, I was getting my hair cut a couple months ago up at Great Clips, and the lady that I always go to is phenomenal. I mean, you can tell she cares not just about your hair, but she's asking questions about your kids, your family, things that she remembered from the last time. You're going, all right, yeah. But this Great Clips was just open. I'm sitting there, and there were five other people who came in after me requesting her. Now, which is one thing, but there's six other hairstylists who were just standing there doing nothing. And Great Clips is kind of an in-out, in-out, in-out kind of place. But these people were willing to wait for her because she cared. Right. And I think that's, as far as keeping me inspired, I'm like, who actually gives a crap about life and serving other people? Mm-hmm. The people that are so focused on what's in it for me, 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 gone. What can I help to help other people? All right, I'm in. How do I help you? We're doing those two guys that I mentioned that I do my treehouse with. We're doing it's called the Foundation. We're starting that in the end of December. We're hosting it at a brewery. It's 25 guys we invited one-on-one and said, let's just sit down and figure out the foundation of what you're trying to create in your life.
Cool.
Because we're just like, if we can create what we've done, not just professionally, but personally in the last 18 months that we've been meeting, what can we do if we get a group of 25 guys of different professions? Some are farmers, some are bankers, some are all whatever. Mm-hmm. But if they have the right heart and the right mind, that's when things can get changed. And it's called the Foundation because we're like, all right, everybody has, if you're building a house, that's a different foundation than if you're trying to build a skyscraper. We want to build a skyscraper. We built the house, got that. We want to build a skyscraper. You have to be so clear, so sound on the foundation of everything. It's just like chiropractic.
Yeah.
If you understand the foundation of the philosophy of why it is you're trying to do what you do, unstoppable if you can deliver the communication, that message. Mm-hmm. However, if you miss that, you can still succeed, but
yeah, it's kind of like the push instead of the flow, like going in flow or getting in the zone, right?
Yeah,
no, that's amazing. So in closing, we talk about all those underdogs out there that either feel like an underdog or are an underdog, and from Mr. Inspired Nation, what kind of words of inspiration do you have for our listeners?
Yeah. The biggest thing that I learned going into this is just start figuring out who you are, being authentic with who you are. Stephen Furtick, one of my favorite pastors in North Carolina I listen to, he said, stop comparing your behind the scenes to everyone else's highlight reel. And I heard that and I'm like, that is so true. We're totally watching all these successful people and like, man, why can't I do that? And I'm just stuck in this small little town. And I see these people that are just absolutely crushing it. Yet you just forgot the little kid that you helped get off medications for the rest of his life. You just got this, well, got this woman pregnant who had been trying to get for 7 years.
Indirectly.
Not direct, yeah.
Yeah.
So just don't undervalue you. That's the big message. You are more deserving of success, whatever it is in your life, but you have to define what that is to you. Stop trying to live someone else's success.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's some pretty good stuff. It sounds simple, but it's actually so profound, right?
Yes. And I tried living the other way for so long and I kept hitting walls and walls and walls. And I said, all right, let's again, picking up that day, picking up that can and dairy barn. I'm like, all right, I'm going to define who I am, figure out how to build this guy. Let's go.
That's amazing. So I think everybody can take that to the bank, define who you are and develop a plan to maximize and grow as much as you can. So yeah. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. I appreciate it. Dr. Ed was the first one who had me on a podcast and he interviewed me and I didn't even know what a podcast was. So
it was full circle.
I know. And then I think you were one of the second. So it was like, those are the two, my introductions to podcasts, which are pretty cool because it's pretty nice to be able to get your message all across the world. And just be doing it, in interviewing amazing people like you. So thank you for inspiring me too.
Thank you for very, very much for everything you're doing, the book, everything that you're doing. Thank you.
That's awesome. So everybody out there, take some of this information, take it to the bank, and get out there and crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.